Hello everyone, it's George from Ireland. Well, this video saying requiescat in pace, Quentin Davies. So Lord Davies, he was called to his reward to the great big debating chamber in the sky on the 13th of this month. But the news has only just come out. You know, that's 18 days ago. Presumably his funeral has already been and gone. But sometimes the family don't want to release the information until that's happened. I know they often don't announce these things on the media for the first 24 hours to make sure that the family all find out it from each other and not from watching on television. I know he wasn't exactly a household name, John Quentin Davies, but always went by his middle name, Quentin. So I heard him address the Oxford Union one time, talking about his experiences in Northern Ireland as a junior minister there, and how he had friends on both sides of the community, and he was actually sharply critical of the Ulster Unionist government, how they administered Northern Ireland up until 1972. Perhaps a bit surprising from a Conservative. He was also an ardent Europhile. So, he has passed away at the age of 80. He was born in Oxford, and I often think people who are Oxfordians don't want to become Oxonians. If they go to one of the two great English universities, they then want to go on to Cambridge, which he did. So he was the son of a physician. He went to the Dragon School, the most distinguished prep school in Oxford. God, wish I'd worked there. And there's indeed the Dragon Book of Verse, not meaning that it's written by the boys, I think the girls now, or the masters there, but just that the Dragon School particularly recommends these poems. And then to Caius College, Cambridge, Gonville and Caius, reading history, and then he briefly studied at Harvard on a scholarship. I know it was a degree-bearing qualification. So, and he joined Her Majesty's Diplomatic Service. He was in the Soviet Union. He acquired mastery of Russian. So he's a very brainy, multi-talented chap, fascinated by the world around him, but moving quite rapidly to be first secretary. But then he went into banking and wanted to make some serious money because diplomacy is actually very poorly paid, especially considering the very gifted people who are in it. And it would have been quite oppressive being in Moscow in the late 60s, early 70s, always being tailed by the KGB. And so he was a banker at Morgan Grenville, made lots of the money, and in charge of their operations in France. He spoke very good French, so I'm told. So he's always a conservative, standing in various seats, save for Labour seats, till he's finally returned for Stamford and Spalding, which is a constituency in Lincolnshire. He had no prior connection with Lincolnshire. You don't need to. 1987, Maggie the Third, Margaret Thatcher leading the Conservative Party to victory for the third time. In those days, remember, the Conservatives were the Europhile party. Labour had been quite Eurosceptic. Indeed, the 1983 manifesto, Labour had vowed to withdraw the United Kingdom from the European Economic Community. Remember, the European Union as such wasn't founded under that name until 1993. So Maggie Thatcher's Europhile instincts at the time chimed with those of Mr. Davies, as he then was. He was married, he had two sons. I actually knew both his sons slightly. And then, bizarrely, I knew them in Oundle, this is like over 20 years ago. What's that, Euston Road? And I happened to see him, and was it with both his boys? In 2004, 2005, walking down the street, I didn't hail him. So I never spoke to him, but I saw him speak, and he spoke with poise, self-assurance, seemed to be a fairly typical conservative MP, right? An effective orator, not terribly exciting, seemed to be quite cloyingly conventional, but there's a twist in the tales, was in 2007, which he did something which nobody had foreseen. So they said that he was a very sedulous constituency parliamentarian, attentive to the needs of the people there and always going to his surgeries. Some people are rather negligent in that regard. But his seat of Stamford and Spalding became Grantham and Spalding. Grantham, significantly, was Margaret Thatcher's hometown. And so he was, even 1997, the real round of the Conservatives, he managed to retain his constituency, but he never achieved much preferment, despite being a Conservative MP for 20 years. So perhaps that rankled. He thought that a man of his abilities must be promoted higher. By then, was he too pale, male and stale, somewhat uninteresting? Was it a case of sour grapes? In 2007, the very day that Tony Blair tendered his resignation and Gordon Brown became Prime Minister, that Quentin Davies defected to the Labour Party. Now, nobody saw that one coming, saying that the Conservative Party, then under David Cameron, stood for nothing. Now, I do have some sympathy with his argument there, but it's quite true. Obviously, Cameron was liberalizing the party, saying, well, we're in favor of gay marriage eventually, or vote blue, go green. We must be more appealing to women and ethnic minority people. In those days, the European Union wasn't an issue between the two major parties. Yes, there was a UK Independence Party on the fringes, but the duopoly parties were both committed to the United Kingdom remaining the European Union. Cameron would sometimes make nods to Eurosceptic sentiment and saying, oh, we won't be in a certain whatever party in the European Parliament, but he broke that pledge. Well, the Treaty of Lisbon, we should put it to referendum. And again, he reneged on that pledge. It was just a bare-faced liar, Cameron, one of the many reasons he wrecked public trust in politics. But Quentin Davies possibly saw Cameron for what he was, a fraud. And then there was the shock announcement that Quentin Davies was going over to the Labour Party. Perhaps surprising the Labour Party received it. But anyway, he's managed to get along quite well with people there. Remember being interviewed on the news saying, okay, you've stood as a Conservative candidate in that constituency. Will you contest the same constituency in the Labour interest in the forthcoming Westminster election? And he declined to do so, and saying, well, because it'll cause a lot of hurt on a personal level. They're people in the Conservative Association I've known for 20 years, and I got on very well with them, and they'll find it very painful to think that I'm now donning the red colours. And I don't want to cause all this rancour locally, so I shan't do that. Well, how high-minded of him. I suspect that the ulterior motive is he knew that in a rock-solid Tory constituency, he didn't stand any chance of being elected. He was hoping to do the chicken run, that some safe Labour constituency would adopt him as his candidate. Well, it wasn't to be. But nevertheless, he stood down from the House of Commons in 2010 and was ennobled. So it caused some seething resentment among the Labour ranks. Why should this Johnny come lately to the Labour cause become a peer? What about, there are dozens of other Labour MPs who've stepped aside from Parliament or indeed lost their seats, and they haven't been rewarded with a seat in the upper chamber. But that was Quentin Davies, who was not terribly well known for the last few years. So he'd had some sort of fairly minor positions as permanent parliamentary private secretary, because permanent private secretary is a civil servant. And so on. He was also castigated for his expenses. That that was he doing too much? I mean, almost everybody got in trouble for supposedly spending too much in the expenses scandal. Well, that came out in about 2010, just before he stepped down from Parliament. Okay, so he was seen as an outstanding backbencher, able to ask the questions that the front benchers really didn't want to have asked. So it was someone who was gifted, who was witty, all the rest of it, and very knowledgeable about politics, had almost encyclopedic knowledge of politics, but perhaps didn't achieve what he wanted to in terms of promotion, policy areas. It wasn't really going the right way from his point of view. Well, thank you for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate to PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Goodbye.